perspective. We got the cool, we got the muscle, and you know we effing rule. We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills, alright. We got the know-how, we got control, we got the knowledge, and we tell you how it rolls. We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills, alright. We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills, tonight.
Hello and welcome to episode 229 of Geek Girls, the Geek Girls podcast supported primarily by our patrons. You can find us at patreon.com/grills. I'm Linda and I'm joined by my co-host Ray.
Hello.
And today's topic, we are talking about the history of Easter traditions. So we've done a Christmas one in the past, I believe. We'll try not to get off on too much of a tangent. But I have copious, copious notes. So many notes. I find this stuff very interesting, so. But before we get into the topic, what have you been up to this week?
Well, house hunting and ATE meal planning. The house hunting's not doing too well. We went to, like, one open house, one that we got the code for, two that we got the code for, and they were all townhomes, and it's, like, they were nice, they're just small, and there's no place to park, like, there's no designated parking, or even a guest parking, So it's like, where would people park if they came to visit us? Meal planning was just me failing with math and, like, apparently picking the most expensive food ever to try and have before realizing, no, that's a mistake, and the cost of chicken is insane right now, so we're gonna refigure some stuff, and
yeah,
you know, let's use as much that we can that's already in the stores before we buy new stuff, because it was way too expensive at first. I messed up.
Well, it's hard because you're feeding 65 people. That's how many people are coming to ATE this coming weekend. Yep.
And I have notes here. These are all the allergies and food avoidance things. I actually had to go through the list and consolidate it because apparently it was just being auto-updated. So if you filled it out multiple times, like every time we asked people to fill out the allergy form, it just got added, and I'm like, okay, I know there's not five other people with a corn allergy. No, that's all just me. Okay. So let's remove those. So I just removed all the duplicates. I have yet to get to the actual who actually plays still, and because it feels like it's from multiple games, the thing, which is good. It's nice to have that information, but I'm like, okay, what do I specifically, like, hardcore need to focus on? So, and then we did a escape room that was sci-fi themed. It was called Planet Express. That was pretty cute. That was neat. We had a lot of people. Like, we had the max number of people, so it was kind of also too many cooks in the kitchen kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I was like, maybe I should just try not to get in people's ways. So, but we did it. We beat it. So that's always good.
Yay.
And helped a friend move, and Scott made me leave the computer at some point to watch the latest episode of Actually, which is a fantastic show. It's a college humor, and you can watch it on Dropout or on YouTube, like the older stuff. It's literally just being a pedantic nerd. Like, the musical episodes are the ones that are, like, the most hardcore. Like, people are really into that. Like, really scary passionate. And then they had a new show called Dirty Laundry, which is basically, you have, like, four people, and you put in, like, secrets. And you have to guess which of your friends that secret is from, like, whose secret it is. Mm-hmm. And it could also be, like, the presenter or the bartender's secret. And, of course, the bartender is Grant. In College Humor, he has, like, some of the most insane stories, and they pick on him a lot in some of the the weekly updates where you're not supposed to laugh because of some of the insanity that he has done. So it's like the wild card, because it could be a Grant secret. Who knows? And those are pretty cute. So that was my mini break to try and regain sanity.
Yes.
How about you? What have you been up to?
Well, on the crocheting front, I have done some more hedgehogs.
Be so fluffy, I'm gonna die!
I've done a normal colored one, and then I did a blue one. So he's blue, and it's hard to see, but the yarn I used for his back spikes is actually sparkly.
Aww.
It's very hard to see, but so like...
He's like Sonic.
Yeah. So my husband was like, oh, it's an iced version. And I was like, it's the shiny. This is the shiny version of the hedgehog.
There you go.
Yes. And then I've also got done... Oh, they're rolling. Okay, sorry. Put them down. Almost done. He's not quite done. I've got a Mario.
Ooh.
He has no eyes right now, so don't be alarmed. I will be putting his eyes on later, but I'm gonna needle felt his little buttons and his eyes and the M that goes on his hat. But
very
he's,
cute. Is he like 2.5 feet?
No, he's put it next to my head. He's a little bigger. Yes, he's like
slightly bigger than your head.
Yeah, slightly bigger than my head, which I guess is telling on myself here. Side of my head, it's a little more, than the foot.
A little more than the foot. Okay.
Yeah. No, he's. I had him up very close. I had him up very close to camera, so he looked really big, but he's not that big. Okay.
He's still very, very cute.
Very cute. Just a little, little SCP right now because he doesn't have his eyeballs. Hello, Sally.
Okay, I just saw Sally crawling up in your lap. She's like, hey, mother.
Yes.
Mother, please.
She's definitely...
I'm watching the Italian plumber.
She's definitely in nap mode right now. Okay. Hey, girl. I lightened up my roots because my roots were getting pretty bad, so I just put... It's like, I'd lighten up my roots, but I'm lightening them from dishwater blonde to gold blonde. So it's... all blonde. So it's not like you can really tell very much when I do it, but I did do that this past week. I'm trying out a new skincare routine, I guess. Something other than just Dove soap. it's the CeraVe, like, gentle cleanser. So I'm actually trying to, like, you know, take care of my skin. Because you're not supposed to use Dove soap. It doesn't make my skin feel like it's burning off, so there's that. but
Well, I mean, you should use soap to clean yourself.
Well, yeah, but, like, it's a cleanser, right? So the cleanser it cleans your skin. You're not supposed to use, like, harsh soap on your face skin.
Gotcha.
I use soap everywhere else, but on your face, it's very delicate. I don't know. These are dermatologists that are online. I don't know if they're telling me the truth. I tend to believe them because they told me to use CeraVe instead of some sort of expensive brand. The CeraVe was like, I don't know, $12 for a thing that's... I can't... My cat has laid on my arm. It's trapped forever. But it's a pretty good size bottle. Thank you.
But little did you know that these dermatologists are getting kickbacks from the CeraVe Corporation. I don't know.
I doubt it. but we're gonna see. This is only the second day, so I mean, so far it hasn't burned my skin off. So that's good.
I mean, yes, that seems like the opposite of what this skin moisturizer should do.
Yeah. I re-listened to the Jekyll and Hyde musical. I was big into that several years ago, and I've been listening to it again. It's got good music. There's actually two versions, the older version, which is the musical when it first came out, and then they like redid some of the songs and took out some songs and put in some new ones, and so that's the second version, and that's the one I'm listening to. Lots of fun. You get to the guy that plays Jekyll slash Hyde, great vocal chops, because he's very gentle with one voice and very chaotic and scary with the other. So it's good stuff. And then you.
I think the only thing I haven't really listened to anything aside from Bring On the Men.
Ah, yes, that's a good one. That is from the original version. Bring On the Men is not in the second version, which is a shame, because that's one of the best songs in it. But, I would love it if they had, you know, the second version with all the revamped songs, but with Bring On the Men in it, because that's it's a good song. And then it's the start of Lab Week, which, if there are folks that don't know, since I work in a laboratory, we have a Lab Week every year where they show their appreciation for us and they buy us lunch every day. We had Moe's today, and we get swag, we get goodies. So today I got three sets of free movie tickets that come with a popcorn and a drink, and this fancy thermotherapy wrap that you can make it hot or cold, and it's very hefty. It's a bit, it's a very hefty thing.
Yes, after LARP weekend.
Yes, I might take it with me to LARP weekend, actually. So you microwave it to make it hot, and you put it in the freezer to make it cold, so stock standard kind of thing.
Excellent.
But that is just the beginning of Lab Week. I'm sure we'll get a new shirt. We generally do. We either get a shirt or a jacket. I don't know. Like, last year or the year before, we got a folding chair. Like, a big... Sorry, cat. I bopped her on the nose. We got, a big camp chair, but it looked like a papasan. It's one of those big... Like, you just lean back in it. It's the one I bring to gardens. The gray one.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, I got that from work, so we'll see. We'll see what goodies I get this year.
That's an impressive swag game.
Yeah, they have a really good swag game. So that's basically been my week. And with that, we'll get into our topic. So I like history of holidays. I find it very interesting because the holidays that we know and love are very different looking than how they used to be even 100 years ago, even 50 years ago. So I just think it's fascinating to see how they shift and change over the years. Christmas is a good example of it because the Christmas that everyone kind of knows was quite literally invented in the Victorian era, because that's where you got the Christmas tree, Christmas cards, all sorts of stuff came from the Victorian era. But when it comes to Easter, it's not actually the same. Like, with Christmas, you can kind of point at, like Yule and, what is it, Saturnalia, that the Christian religion kind of co-opted to make Christmas because they wanted to make it more appealing to non-Christians, what they would have called pagans at the time. I know that's not that's an actual religion. So the non-Christians of the time, they were basically being like, look, your celebration is the same as our celebration. Obviously, it's the same thing, just with different names. It's the same thing with different names. Get over here! You know, so...
It's our party.
You're ours now. Or else, yeah. No kidding. Shifting in the chair, sorry. So, with Easter, there's a lot of, different kind of piecemeal things that made it into the... holiday that we understand it to be today. And kind of the first thing is that Passover, which is the Jewish holiday of celebrating, I think it's, hold on.
Well, actually, before we get too into it,
uh-huh.
As your resident non-Christian,
yeah,
it's about the resurrection of Jesus, right?
Yes. Like, sorry,
everybody's like, "Woohoo!"
Yeah,
and
no,
he's like, "I'm going away in 3 days. Bye." Right?
No, let me back up. Let me back up. So, Easter is the Christian celebration of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. He was crucified, he got buried, and then 3 days later, he wasn't in the tomb anymore. Hooray, he's resurrected.
He just wasn't in the tomb? Like, nobody actually saw him? He didn't go, like, peace out or anything?
Oh, he came back. Like, he came to... Okay. The angels were there at the tomb. They said, he's not here. And they were like, oh, they freaked out a little bit. And then he came by, which is what Pentecost is. There's a whole liturgical calendar. Pentecost comes after Easter. And Pentecost is where Jesus shows up for a little bit, has dinner with the guys, and then is like, all right, it's your turn. I'm out. Okay. So
I just merged it all into one day.
Kinda, I don't know. Hang on. I don't want that.
The mandatory Sunday school for sleeping over at my Christian friends' houses growing up was a long, long time ago now. So.
Yeah. Hold on.
Easter was always one of the particularly weird ones for me.
Calendar. To be fair, I didn't look at this. I want to make sure I said that right because I don't want to be incorrect. Blah, 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 da, 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 da. Yes. Yes, Pentecost is after Easter. And they get, like, the Holy Spirit come down upon them, and then they become the apostles, and there's a big thing. That's a very gross oversimplification, and I understand that. I grew up as a Lutheran. I did not go to seminary. I have no, like, training. I just grew up with it. So,
no religious studies, just, you know.
We're going to put that out there. Yeah. This is me going off of what I remember growing up as a Lutheran. So, that being said, that is the basic kind of, like, Easter celebration. Somewhere along the line, we got Easter Bunny and colored eggs, and we're going to get into those kind of two main traditions. There's a lot of other small traditions that are scattered all across Europe, but I think most people are most familiar with the concept of the Easter Bunny and the colored eggs. So that's the ones we're going to kind of go into. But the very first thing that I wanted to talk about is that Passover and Easter are linked because the Last Supper, the thing that the big painting is about, and that, you know, the Eucharist is because of, that was a Passover meal, according to, I think, three of the four Gospels. So,
oh, okay.
So one of them disagreed. I don't know why. All the Gospels and all of the books of the Bible are written by different people, so take that as you will.
Passover, I believe, was to celebrate making it through the desert.
I'm looking that up. Passover is the celebration of when the Israelites were enslaved in Egypt and the plagues came through. The last plague was the plague of the firstborn. And when they painted their door frame, their lintels, their door frames with the blood, the blood of a slaughtered lamb, the spirit of death, like, passed over them. That's why it's called Passover.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Prince of Egypt. Got it.
Yes. It's from the book of Exodus, and it's them going, like, getting through the Red Sea and having the plague pass them over. So, sorry, cat, you're in my way. Okay. But it's kind of you know, inextricably linked to Easter because of the Last Supper being a Passover meal and, you know, Jesus being like, you know, this bread is my body, this blood, this wine is my blood, and that's where the Eucharist comes from, the communion.
I have I don't recommend this, but if your grandparents ever drag you to their church for Easter services, and you see everybody else getting up in line for what looks like snacks, those aren't snacks. Just so you know. My mother was very disappointed and upset with me that I did that.
Well,
and for the longest time, I just did not understand why. I was like, but there were snacks. They were terrible snacks. They were snacks.
It depends. And that's something else. Like, that's a whole other, like, topic. There are some churches that invite everyone up to the communion table and anyone can have communion. There are some churches that are like, no, you have to be a member or you have to be... you have to have passed a certain, like, class, first communion class, if you will. So it depends on the church, but
I don't know. My grandparents weren't too upset, but my mom was.
So
anyway.
So, you know, it's all very steeped in, you know, the religion. So where did the dyed eggs come from, one might ask? Where did the Easter bunny come from?
Yes, because honestly, with the exception of that little story, the only other thing I connect with Easter is, like, Easter egg hunts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, why are these connected? And why a bunny?
So okay.
Please enlighten me.
So, dyeing Easter eggs, because eggs have been associated with spring and rebirth for a very long time. Like, there's decorated eggs from as far back as 60,000 years ago. There were decorated ostrich eggs from Africa that they used in, like, spring rituals. So...
easier to find.
Yeah. So dyeing Easter eggs seems to have originated in Mesopotamia, where the Christians of that time and place, they dyed the eggs this dark red, like super dark red, to symbolize the blood of Christ.
Okay.
Like, I don't have a dark enough red to show you. Like, there's pictures. If you go on, like, the Wikipedia page, and they would put little crosses on them, little gold crosses. They're like, they look like blood. people think that's part of where that tradition came from, is they dyed the eggs to symbolize the blood of Christ, and then as it kind of trickled down, you just dyed the eggs all different colors. I mean, that took many, 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 many years, but they think that was one of the places where it originated from. Eggs also... a cracked open egg at one point came to symbolize the open tomb.
Okay.
So they were used as, you know, symbolic items for a very long time.
Also tasty,
yes. and then so the Easter bunny. For a long time, people thought that, like, rabbits and things like that were associated with Easter because of another non-Christian celebration called Ostara. Because Ostara was the celebration of the goddess Ostere, who is a goddess of spring. There's no, like, direct link to her being, like, associated with rabbits or hares. Sorry, my cat was trying to chew something. but they think maybe, you know, there's a theory that that's why it's called Easter, because the goddess's name is Ester. It's so hard. Eostre, which it starts with an E, E-O-S-T-R-E. But there's only one, like, source for that. And it was a dude back in the Middle Ages. So, you know, it's iffy. It's iffy if that actually has any correlation whatsoever. But it could be that, you know, there was the same thing where the Christians saw the non-Christians celebrating and they were like, hey, you should come over here because it's basically the same thing.
bring your maypole over this way and we'll talk about, we'll tell you about the resurrection. You can tell us about fertility and that'll be a thing. And that's fine. Yeah.
So, hares specifically, like not rabbits, like the Easter bunny became a rabbit much later in its lifetime. They were hares at first because that's what was over in England and...
Stop!
She's trying to eat my yarn. That's what was associated with the like, that was over in England and Germany and Europe, or hares, not rabbits, I guess, but I don't know what their etymology is. I think that's the right word. Anyway. Hares were associated with fertility and rebirth and spring because obviously they were hopping around all over the place in springtime. And for some reason, the For some reason, the people of the Middle Ages for a while thought hares were hermaphroditic and reproduced asexually because they just so many. I don't know why.
I've read what some of their ways of, like, solving smallpox were, so yeah, sure, that's fine.
You know, four humors, all that good stuff.
I mean, to me, I feel like getting your hands on a hair would be much easier for dissection and investigating rather than trying to get your hands on a human body at that time, but we won't go into that.
But for the Christians of the time, because they reproduced that way, quote-unquote, they also became to be associated with the virgin birth. So the Virgin Mary and Jesus and, you know, just it dovetails nicely in together. So hares became associated with Easter. So, but the Easter bunny itself is actually specifically originated from German Lutherans. You're welcome. Someone with a German lineage who was raised Lutheran. You're welcome.
You decided to have the bunny combined with the egg, so the bunny brought you eggs.
Yeah, so it was the Easter bunny, because the hares were you know, considered part of the spring. It was like the spring version of Santa Claus.
But candy and eggs.
Yes, the Easter bunny, the Easter hare, would judge the children to see if they had been good enough to get candy and colored eggs.
Did it give them rabbit pellets if they weren't?
I don't know if there was a, I didn't look up that part. Hold on, let me see. What did you get if you were bad?
Well, probably just not eggs, but I could just imagine, like, the rabbits, oh, well, no, I left you a gift anyway. Back there. Right behind me. You're welcome.
Yeah, I don't see anything. Ow. I think she smacked her own head. Are you okay?
Oh.
Baby.
Poor kitty girl.
Yeah, you heard a whack on the... It was her. Yeah, I don't see anything where it says that they give you bad things. But, you know, maybe. Maybe there were some parents that were very... strict, and we're like, no, if you are not good, you will not get eggs, you will get poop.
Children would go door to door begging for eggs before Lent? Huh.
Yeah, so Lent is the season before Easter. You have Lent, and then you have the feast day of Easter. This is not called feast days anymore, but
yeah, because you give up something during Lent to show your devotion to your faith. That's actually pretty common.
Back in the day, you would fast. Lent was a fasting time. And then you'd have Good Friday, which is a misnomer because that was the day that Jesus died. and then you would have the Easter celebration. So that's why it was a feast day, is because you would be done with all of your Lenten fasting and you would celebrate and have lots of food and treats and all that good stuff.
Okay, yeah. I believe in Ramadan you also fast.
Mm-hmm.
I know Baha'is also have a similar, like, we fast, and then once the fast is over, it's a big party. And you get to eat. It's like, yay!
Oh, but I forgot to mention, going back to the Easter Bunny and the German Lutherans, Luther, who is the from the Lutheran Reformation, is credited with creating the Easter egg hunt. Which, as somebody who has actually studied the man a little bit, like, not a lot, but he was intense. Let's put it that way. I don't see him coming up with this, but that could just be my own perception.
So maybe it was somebody else in the church and... you can take credit for this one. That's fine.
Yeah, I mean, okay, to be fair, like, Lutherans are kind of known for their Catholic light with beer. Because they wanted more songs and they wanted, you know, like, a lot of Lutheran hymns are based off of drinking songs for a reason. Just saying. Some of those really well-known hymns were sung in pubs first, with different words.
I mean, it does sound a bit more fun than probably people telling you to feel guilty, so I'll take that. Sorry, my exposure to Catholicism is through my grandparents, so...
Yeah.
That's all I got.
I mean, what you can take away from this is that Lutherans are the fun ones, I guess. You get beer and you get Easter eggs. Easter egg hunts.
I mean, and the Easter bunny. Easter egg hunts now, if it is definitely more of a cultural thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of Christmas, even though I wasn't Christian, like, just culturally, by being an American. I just got. And then, of course, my grandparents were like, oh, no, you gotta do this for the kid and this for the kid. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, there's a lot more emphasis on Christmas than Easter, even though they're both celebrations. I guess because Easter is kind of... Going into Easter is not fun.
Mm-hmm.
You have, you know, Lent, where you're supposed to be, you know, in the olden days you were fasting, or in the new, you know, nowadays you give up something. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Easter is one day, whereas Christmas has kind of been, because Advent, which is the time of waiting before Christmas, Advent is spent, you know, counting down the days and, like, doing the Advent wreath and the Advent calendars. And a lot more commercialism has gone into it. It's a little bit more, like, fun. So Christmas can last the entire month. Whereas, you know, people sometimes forget where Easter falls. And that's another thing. Easter changes what day it falls on every year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Is that kind of like the lunar calendar, or just like...
It's something to do, again, with the liturgical calendar. I'm not exactly sure what the counting is, but, you know, Christmas always falls on the 25th. Easter can fall, like, when I was born on Good Friday, and I was born in March. So, Easter was in March in the year I was born. Usually it's in April, but it can be anywhere between the end of March and the end of April. So that's another thing that, like, I think there's not like a solid date every single year that you're like, okay, you know, we're going to start here and count down the days. It's just, it moves.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I know, like, particularly this year was a big deal because
We have multiple holidays all on the same day, if not week. So, and I'm a bad person because I don't remember all of the specific names of the holidays, and I don't want to get wrong.
So, it was just, again, I did a bunch of, like, looking up and things for this one, and I thought the eggs were a much more recent addition than they are, but the Easter eggs actually have been around for quite some time. Granted, you know, they started off as just an expression and celebration of spring or a symbol of spring, and then they got, you know, kind of folded into the Christian faith. By, you know, being colored and then representing the tomb and all that, you know, rebirth. I was, again, Easter Bunny is a little older than I thought it was. I kind of thought the Easter Bunny came around in, like, the 50s. But, it was the 1550s.
I mean, maybe it was just the 50s where they started to have them, have people actually dress up in suits. Like, yeah. That to me is really interesting, like, because I think it's just Easter and Christmas that you have, like, let's dress up in suits and go to the mall and get your picture taken, and, like, that's very interesting
thing. Well, and it is interesting because I didn't realize that the Easter Bunny kind of represented a Santa-esque kind of thing, except for, you know, springtime instead of winter. Because, like, what I grew up with is that my mom would put together my Easter basket the night before. So we'd get up for church, and I'd see the Easter basket all set up and pretty with the colored eggs and the candy. And then we'd go to church, and I knew I had chocolate waiting for me back home. But it's, you know, it's the Easter Bunny's lost that kind of thing of, like, oh, you better be good or you're not going to get anything. That's kind of gone away, and it's just this, like, ah, oh, look, Easter Bunny, here, have jelly beans all over the place.
Jelly beans, Easter grass.
Easter all grass. Over all over the place. So
I think I got an Easter basket once from my grandfather. And the grass was everywhere. It was worse than the glitter. And my mom's like, never again. I was like, okay, whatever. Candy.
My mom still...
I used to go to my friend who would have eggs hitting. We would find the egg.
My mom still makes Easter baskets. It's not specific. It's not specifically for me, but, you know, we go over for service and then we split the Easter basket before I go home.
That's still sweet, though.
Yeah. No, I love it. It's great. Let's see. Those are the two big ones I wanted to kind of touch on. Is there anything else you can think of that we could, like, do quick research on, or do you think that's a good stopping point?
Went over the eggs, went over the bunny. We all know that South Park episode, which 100% accurately explains how it's all combined. Not really, but it's a great episode. No, I think that pretty much sums that up. And then, of course, because of Easter eggs, there's also just, like, decorating of the eggs, which is cool. I do remember that. That was fun and frustrating. And then, like, you want to go more on that. They're, like, to get more intricate, I know you can, like, hollow them out.
Oh, yeah.
Etch in designs.
And there's
the Fabergés.
There's insane, like, decorating things that, and I'm just, that could be a whole episode on its own.
Various ways to color your eggs.
Yeah, from Victorian era to now, because they had a whole, of course the Victorians had an entire, like, thing and system that they used to decorate eggs.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. And then I also know, like, tea dyeing eggs was a thing as well.
Yep, you can use a bunch of natural dyes. You do, I think it's turmeric for yellow, beetroot for red or pink. Blueberries, I think, get you purple. And then there's something else for blue. It's not. It's actually not blueberries, but I can't remember what it is at the moment. But that's all, like, natural dyes. But, okay, well, I mean, if our listeners have any Easter traditions that they are curious about that we didn't cover, I'm sure there's, like I said, there's a lot of small traditions for...
Wait, I have a weird one.
Oh, yeah?
Why ham?
Well, I know from...
Like, that might just be an American thing, but, like...
Well, it could be an American thing, but there's also... So, if you go to the, like, the tradition at the New Year of eating ham is for health.
Okay.
So, it may also stem from that.
It's just, like, ham, I notice, is always kind of a big deal around, like, Easter and Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, is there a reason for the pig other than just we like pigs and, like, I was also like, are you trying to like, I don't know, like, just also a way to separate, like, no, we eat pigs, so therefore we're Christian and we're celebrating Easter rather than like, don't confuse us with anybody else. Like,
let's see.
I was very confused about that. Like,
ah, I have an answer for you, and it actually makes sense. So, it dates back way back. To when you would be curing your own meats to, like, last you over the winter. You would save your last ham that you had cured from the fall through the winter months to have on your feast day.
Oh, okay.
So it was like they would have that available left to them, hopefully, if they hadn't had a terrible winter. Or a terrible harvest. And that was what they, you know, it was available and they had it left over. Because actually spring, strangely enough, the very beginning of spring is the hungriest time of the year for, like, back in the day farmers. Because your stores from fall were starting to run low, but nothing was blooming yet.
Yeah, you still had to wait and make it through.
Mm-hmm. So they would have that left over, hopefully. And it'd be like, yay, we made it!
In that respect, it's kind of like that piece of wedding cake.
Yes.
you save it. We didn't save ours. We enjoyed it.
Well, we ate ours a year later. It was still good. You freeze it. You freeze that, and it'll last. So if anybody wants to chime in and ask a question about an Easter tradition that they've heard of, that they're curious about, you can always email us at geekgrills@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at geekgrills. So, what are you, what pray tell, what might you be anticipating this coming week?
After the end.
Uh-huh.
I was just like, I'm gonna feel so much better once I get there with the car and all the food and everything, and I can just start and it'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
I am excited. I got my downtimes, and I gotta use some espionage, and that's always fun. I'm sure that there will be no repercussions from it. It'll be great.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
Let's see, Trinity, also this week.
Mm-hmm.
D&D, also this week.
Busy.
Maybe house hunting? God, I hope not.
I think
I'm just gonna write this week off and, like, make Scott take point on house hunting, because I'm like, I don't know when I'm gonna be able to do any of it, so.
You're like, I can't, I cannot.
like, today's the first day in weeks that I haven't, like, obsessively, like, on the hour, refreshed Realtor, Zillow, Open Door, One Home, like, all these different sites that I've been going through.
Yeah.
It's like, they almost always show up on all of them, but sometimes it's just a matter of, like, a few minutes or a few hours, so you're like, oh, I could be the first one to know about this and try and see if it's available, and what do we want to do, and... So, I might just write that off for a week. about you? What are you anticipating?
I have a busy week. Got the Trinity game. We do have my husband's father's memorial, so I'm going to be spending time with his family, help his mom. Lab week, that's all going on as well. And also ATE this weekend. So we packed last weekend. We were like, smart. We're going to have no time this coming week to pack at all. All I have to do is grab my toiletries bag and my undergarments bag. And I am ready to go, I hope. They're not in here. I made some cute little, like, charms for my in-game posse that have the little Aww. Symbols carved on them with the wood-burning tool. So I'm excited about that. They're very cute. They can clip them onto their backpacks because apparently all of us have backpacks. My entire posse. Well, we're all scroungers, so we go out and pick up things and get things. So we all have backpacks.
I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah. But yeah, that's busy week. So, oh boy.
We can do it.
We can do it. And remember, folks, you can always come watch us record live at twitch.tv/geekgrills on most Monday evenings. The next one will be on May 9th, because we have our production meeting to decide what we're going to talk about the first of the month, first Monday of the month. That'll be 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern.
And in addition to the subs and bits that we get on Twitch, we are supported by our amazing patrons, the greatest girlfriends on the internet. You can become a patron at www.patreon.com/grills. And if you have Amazon Prime, you can sub to us for free every month on Twitch.
Yes, and thank you for those subs. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Another way to show your support is by leaving us a review. You can do so on any of your podcast catchers. You can check out what topics we're going to do in the next month on our schedule below on our Twitch page once we get that updated. And if you're a patron, you can always suggest a topic for us. We'd love to hear your ideas. So please. Where... Yes, please. Where can we find you on the interwebs?
You can find me on Instagram under DappleDam. And yeah, that's it. That's all I'm going to be.
That's all I'm doing.
That's all I'm doing. Just Instagram. I'm going to remove that Twitch part.
You can reach Ember at 9 of 12 on Twitter and Twitch and on the Heresy in Hearsay podcast. And you can find me on Twitch and Instagram under the name madcap_misc. And you check out my website at madcapm.com. Thanks for listening, everyone. Good game.
GG.
GG. Ta-da.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this podcast. I just always remember it. It's just ingrained. Embranded. No.
Embrained in your grain.
Embrained in my membrane.
And with that, goodbye, everyone.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.